We're getting tips and advice from a design pro. It is time to ask the interior designer as part of our home improvement series on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Especially in the pandemic, interior designers are creating spaces where we live and work and learn, socialize, play. Our homes have taken on a whole new meaning, from the basement office and work from home Zoom Central to the family room, right? That morphed into a classroom with desks and school supplies lining the walls and dry erase and bulletin boards that kept like a semblance of order in virtual school. What have you learned about storage and design hacks in these times? How would you describe your design style? Do you go for modern clean lines or more traditional farmhouse vibe? 800-642-1234. Amy Hink is a certified residential interior designer, member of the Design Society of America, and her design firm is located in Brookfield. Amy, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having me.
So a little bit about you as an interior designer creating these comfortable and aesthetically pleasing spaces. Why did you decide to pursue this field?
I've always had this just desire for design, and it started when I was little. I was always rearranging my room. Like every month I would like change up my room. It was just a thing. And I didn't really, it was just always there kind of as a hobby. And about 5 years ago, we were living in Waukesha, and we had bought a fixer-upper a few years prior to that, and we kind of ran out of things to do. So, I think that I just really want to pursue this design career. And so I talked to my husband, and he's like, yeah, go for it. So I ended up going to school, and while I was in school, we were looking for another home as a fixer-upper. And so we found our current home in Brookfield. And so it's been 4 years that we've been here, and we're still, you know, fixing it up room by room. But it's just, I'm just so glad that I was able to follow my dream of becoming an interior designer.
Yeah. And I would imagine since it's been part of your life for so many years, actually doing the schooling must have been really invigorating for you.
Yes, it was. It was so much fun. And I've never enjoyed school so much. So it was a great choice.
What are some of the projects you've taken up in your fixer-upper? I mean, we've been talking these weeks about with contractors and taking on so many home projects. What have you been doing?
Well, we've done every single room in our house. So,
oh, goodness.
Right. So the first, I have two boys. So our main goal was when we bought our house to get them in their room. So their room, we still haven't done it yet. That's the last room in the house we have to do. But it was nice that we could just put them in their room and then fix up our bedroom, the master bedroom. And so we like made a bedroom in our living room so we could fix up our bedroom. And so that was only... And that didn't take too long. It was like a couple weeks, not a big deal. So, that was our first room. And then what did we do? Then I think we went to the kitchen. And then, I don't know, we just kind of have been all over the house.
Do your paint colors, do they kind of go from room to room with differences? Or how do you create kind of, different moods in each spaces, but still very thematic overall.
Right. So our house was built in 1952. It's a mid-century house. So our goal was to keep that aesthetic throughout the entire house. And so when I was picking paint colors, I just made sure that I would pick out colors for every single room, and I had that down right away. So basically, keeping that aesthetic, we have our walls are basically white throughout the house, but a soft white. And they kind of change throughout the, like, from room to room, like, slightly, but they all still blend together. And we ran the dark hardwood floors throughout the house, ripped out all the carpet, except for our son's room. That's the last room we're going to do.
But what did you find under the carpet?
Oh, my gosh. It was not pretty. It was not pretty at all. Like, the carpet pad, it, like, melted into the subfloor. Oh. Like, it was a disaster throughout the house. So I'm glad we're coming to the end of our remodel. But, yeah, it's just important to make sure that all the rooms flow together and just have that in mind from the beginning.
We're talking with interior designer Amy Hink this hour, owns her own design business in Brookfield. You can join in. What type of style is your home? What did you decide to do when it came to interior designing and choosing how each space would look? Join in with your questions, budget constraints, size constraints. Amy will take it on 800-642-1234. So what are you seeing out there? What are the most popular interior design styles that you're seeing in homes?
Well, right now, I'm seeing a lot of Scandinavian design, which is like the white walls, light floors, that run through the house.
Mm-hmm.
By light floors, I mean hardwood or luxury vinyl planks, which is huge right now. Luxury vinyl planks, I highly recommend if you don't want to do the hardwood floor. It has come a long way, and it's like a super durable product.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are using like black fixtures, gold fixtures. I mean, still, silver is totally fine, and I'm seeing a lot of brushed nickel, but people are leaning towards, like, the gold and black and mixing it up a little bit.
How is gray doing these days?
Gray is the new neutral, so I don't see that going anywhere. And there's so many varieties of gray that you can do warm gray, cool gray, so, yeah, that's definitely huge for walls, flooring. But it's nice that if you have your floor and walls gray, that you can add, like, pops of color with your furniture, accent pieces, maybe even, like, an accent wall.
Oh, dear. Did you just say accent wall?
I did. I threw that out there.
How do you do an accent wall right? Or, you know, what would you say about accent walls?
Well, there's a lot of variations for accent wall. You can also, like, consider it as, like, a feature wall. So you don't necessarily have to change it up with your paint color. You can use planks on the wall as just to change it up instead of paint. You can use a feature wall with like wall art.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different things you can do with a feature wall.
We have Wisconsin interior designer Amy Hink, who is with us as part of our Ask a Contractor series. What favorite furniture do you consider a statement piece? Do you have a family heirloom that you want to show off, but you don't know how to incorporate it into your home? What questions do you have for how to design on a budget? And what's on your mind about sustainable design that keeps the health of our planet in mind? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in just a minute with Amy Hink here on the Ideas Network. We're discussing interior design as part of our Ask a Contractor series on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. When family movie night was no longer possible without a sectional in our living room, we took to Craigslist, found one in Appleton. We got a truck, picked it up, and now the sectional is serving its second life. And buying a new sectional we knew could run thousands of dollars, and we wanted to see how the sectional would function in the space. So for about $500, it turned out to be just what we needed with our kiddos' forts and their couch flips and who knows what else with wear and tear. How do you work with furniture in your space? Are you in a tight space? What design move gave you a more functional layout? 800-642-1234. We have Amy Hink, certified residential interior designer, with us for the hour. Let's go to Rob in West Allis, who is trying to arrange a strange L-shaped room. Rob, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for having me. So we bought the house a little over a year ago, and it was turnkey, beautiful, and so we're just trying to make it our own. And one of the rooms, the living room, great room, has just a very strange layout. There was an addition put on prior to us purchasing it, and now there's a great focal point at the fireplace, but then 90 degrees from that is where the TV would go, and it's really difficult to figure out, like, how should we lay this room out so it flows the best way possible for the rest of the main floor. And I was curious, when it comes to rooms that are like that just have a very strange layout, how do you go about coming up with a design plan for those sorts of rooms?
Yeah, Rob, thank you. Amy, go ahead.
Hi, Rob. I totally know what you're talking about. That's kind of how our living room is set up, actually. So we ended up buying a sectional, kind of like square off the room, if you know what I'm saying. And because furniture doesn't necessarily need to be like pushed up against a wall, you can have furniture in the middle of the space. And so that's kind of what we did. We kind of made it an L. So like our fireplace, you can see that when that's on, and then the TV, you can kind of angle towards the TV if you want. So sometimes you just have to like take a few minutes and just move your furniture around until you find that comfortable position for everything.
Rob, are you working with a sectional in that space, or what is your furniture situation like?
Not currently, no. We have a set that we bought some years ago, and it's a chair, a chaise lounge, and a couch. We were thinking a sectional, and we were just trying to figure out how do we position it in the room so that way we can do both, the fireplace or the TV, or maybe some swivel chairs somewhere in there, that kind of thing. But we just weren't sure, like, what's the best approach to go about coming up with a design idea.
Yeah, so when you have that, Amy, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, sometimes it's, if you think of your furniture as like a puzzle kind of, I guess, you can kind of situate your furniture like a sectional. But like I said, sometimes you just have to just keep moving those pieces around until you find that the right position for everything.
So TV above the fireplace, yes or no? Up or down?
I'm cool with the TV over the fireplace. I mean, that kind of makes everything a lot easier that way.
So you say that so diplomatically. There are some strong feelings about that in our household. I do not like it. But, you know, with a fireplace, I find that it is a focal point for the room, regardless of what that fireplace looks like. It is there. We need to do something with it. So what are your suggestions for about what to put above the fireplace with, you know, the TV not an option?
Well, a great piece to put above the fireplace might be a mirror or a few pieces of art, some candlesticks. I mean, well, if you have a nice mantle, then yeah, candlesticks. You don't even have to necessarily put the pictures on the wall, mm-hmm, over the fireplace. You can just lean them up against the mantle, and then this way you can always change them up for the holidays. And just, it makes it a little more accessible if you want to change out the pictures.
And like conversely, if you want to dress down a fireplace or not really make it that focal point in the room, what would you suggest?
Oh, well, that's a good question. You can still do those kind of things around the fireplace,
mm-hmm,
but you don't have to arrange your furniture so it's facing the fireplace. You can arrange your furniture so the fireplace is just on this, like, you know, just kind of hanging out there.
Mm-hmm.
But and then you can make the other wall your focal point. But as long as you're not actually putting like your sofa in front of the fireplace, I mean, you really don't want that. But you can still put a couple of chairs in front of it and still leave enough space for that fireplace and just make another wall the focal point in the room.
If you're just joining us, we have Amy Hink offering interior design tips to make our homes more comfortable, reflection of our tastes. You can join in. What type of style is your home? Have you figured it out? What questions do you have about arranging furniture or choosing paint colors or what your palette might be? Join in at 800-642-1234. We heard from Brenda in St. Francis, called in and couldn't stay with us, Amy. And Brenda wonders how they could achieve the look of a Mediterranean home in their condo. And how can you go about doing that?
Well, Mediterranean style is more like traditional, bigger pieces, hardwood pieces. And, well, I guess it depends on the size of her condo. So she would probably, I would recommend that she find a local interior designer to come over to maybe help her with those questions. But Mediterranean is, yeah, just larger pieces of.
And what do you mean by larger pieces? Kind of give a for instance there.
For instance, maybe like a cabinet that is about, I don't know, 6-7 feet high and maybe two feet wide.
Mm.
And it has very like ornate designs. And in the piece, carved in the piece. That makes sense?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I also think of Mediterranean design a little, has a lot of white in the space. Or is that not correct?
I guess not really necessarily.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, there are Mediterranean pieces that could be white. But it's mostly, like, darker or lighter, well, it could be lighter stained wood pieces. That's what I've always come across, but.
Yeah. You know, what you were talking about accent walls earlier, how do you use shiplap in your style and what, you know, we could possibly think about shiplap on the walls?
Hmm. Well, for those that really like that modern farmhouse look, the shiplap will run horizontally along the wall, and you can have that rustic look or you can have that real like clean line look and sand it all down. You can paint it, but I mean I've been told that the shiplap is not everyone's using it as much anymore.
Uh-huh.
But you know, it's just your style. If you love shiplap, then just go for it.
What about barn doors? We have a barn door on our lower level bathroom just because the space is so cramped, and so it's a sliding barn door. What would you suggest with those?
Oh, I highly recommend sliding barn doors. And when people hear barn door, they just automatically think farmhouse. But you can do a contemporary style door and still call it, you know, a barn door, I guess, or a sliding door. But I highly recommend those. I would use them all over my house just so I don't have a swinging door like in the hallway or in the entryway or wherever. But small spaces, like in our entryway, we have, you know, our entry door, and then we have a closet right there. So we put a sliding door by our closet so we didn't have two swinging doors coming at each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are some other tips for that entryway? What should we think about at the entrance of our home?
If you have a blank wall on the other side of your entry door,
yep.
Hooks mm-hmm. for those guests that come in, they can throw their coats on the hooks. Maybe you could have a little space for shoes, but definitely lots of hooks, maybe a clock just to make sure you're always on time for those appointments.
So organization, kind of keeping places where it's not just a drop space. That's a thing, you know, it becomes such a drop space. And then I'm tripping over backpacks and random shoes.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I cannot stand things on the ground because, yeah, I'm running into things, stepping on things. So I have hooks. Like, we have a mud room, and I have hooks, like, on every single wall, all over the place, and because I just try to put everything up, all the kids' sports bags and everything, I just throw it on the hook.
Don't get me started on those sport bags. Amy Hink, she owns an interior design business in Brookfield. You can join in. Are you a real estate agent, or do you stage homes? What design trends do you see out there? How does design affect resale value? Do you watch HGTV or home design shows? Fess up. What have you tried to replicate? Did you get the results you hoped for? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up after the news with Amy Hink here on the Ideas Network. So art tells a story, and I take every available piece of wall space to put up something, something that tells a story and gives us a comfort of home. We're talking about interior design as part of our Ask Contractors series here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The colors of my sunroom porch are blue, all designed around this fused glass piece of an ocean wave made by an artist in Western Ukraine. Thank you so much, Etsy, for that find. Do you have a gallery wall or a statement piece that draws your eye? Join in with your interior design tips, the quandaries, 800-642-1234. Amy Hink is a member of the Design Society of America, owns an interior design business in Wisconsin, and with us for the hour. Amy, we heard from Lynn, called in from Madison, couldn't stay with us, and Lynn has a large, great room, but no dining room. And do you have any suggestions for how to break it up into distinct spaces?
So, you know, you can actually divide a space with your furniture. So if you have a TV on one wall and you can arrange your furniture so that your sofa is facing that TV, then behind that, that's where you can put your dining table and chairs.
What about area rugs? Because I know that can also help break up space.
Oh, absolutely. You can put area rugs all over your house, and especially since if you don't have carpet. The more area rugs, the better, I say. And even if you have just like an open space that you're like, oh, it really needs something there, you can just throw down like maybe a round area rug in that space just to break up the space a little bit. But yeah, you can do an area rug for under your dining table, in your great room space. So, yeah.
Give us some tips for if you do put an area rug under the dining table, what should the size be in relationship to that table? What should you be looking for?
It should be big enough that you can fit your chairs underneath, and then when you pull out your chair, your chair should still be on that rug, so it's not getting caught when you're pushing in and out your chair. So a nice big area rug is like the bigger the better for that space.
Are there any materials or different types of rugs that can handle that space? Because food will inevitably drop, and other things going on that rug.
Right. So, you know, I guess there's not just one particular kind that's for that space. So basically, if you have something that is a little thinner and that will, you know, vacuum up easily. So mm-hmm. Nothing like, you know, definitely don't want to put like a shag rug under your dining room table. Like you absolutely don't want to do that. But something that's a little thinner will work the best.
And you mentioned that shag rug. It reminds me of putting an area rug under the bed, under a bed. And like, so when you drop down with your feet on that rug, it feels really good. When you're trying to put an area rug under a bed, do you have any tips for us?
Well, the Erie rug, it doesn't have to be completely under the bed. It doesn't have to go from the foot of the bed to the head of the bed. You can push it up so it doesn't totally go to the head of the bed, but as long as your feet, when you come out of bed, into bed, your feet hit that carpet,
mm-hmm.
hit that rug, that's where you want to start it. And if you, a lot of people will have a piece of furniture at the end of their bed, whether it's a bench or stools. So you want to make sure that the rug goes beyond that to accommodate the rug the bench or stools, whatever you have at the end of the bed.
Or like a trunk or something
like
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So here's the deal. I'm in a holding pattern on window coverings. I just, can't decide. Do you have any advice on window coverings and how we should approach those?
Well, that is a very good question. So if you have a lot of wall space on either side of the window, then, and you don't want to be like, I could put a picture, but I don't know if I want a picture. So that's where you could have your window treatments. They could go on both sides of the window.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a lot of like valances anymore.
Okay.
So, I would recommend some nice window treatments, or if you want more of a streamlined look, then for a window treatment, you could just use some shades.
Okay.
I recommend that also.
Whoever invented these drapes, these window coverings that puddle on the floor? I mean, come on.
I know, it's like a dust trap, right? Like, oh my gosh, you have to pick it up to clean under, and then your drapes are like just covered in dust. Like, yeah, right. I know. Just as it's recommended to keep your drapes about an inch or under above the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. That to me is more practical. I mean, do you see those puddle drapes out there?
I really don't.
Okay.
I don't see that. I definitely don't put those in my designs ever.
What do you do in your designs when you do have to, decide on a window treatment? What are some options you've been really gravitating to?
Well, I use the client's decision. I go by the client's decision. Do you want them? Do you not? And you have to really look at the space to make sure it all flows. But I usually just, like I said, make sure they're an inch above the ground, and it depends on the style of their space also.
Yeah, colors, fabric, lined, dark or light. I mean, the
right.
possibilities are endless.
Right, and you can use window treatments as that pop of color in your room also. So, and it depends on what you already have in your room. Do you have a rug that you want to match with your window treatment? So if your rug has a ton of colors, pattern, then you want to keep your window treatments more of a solid.
Neutral. Yeah.
Or
solid. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Going back to paint, you mentioned the different variations on white and gray. What are some other things you're seeing out there for paint colors in the home?
Well, I did see that the Benjamin Moore color of the year is October Mist, which is a beautiful sage, soft green color.
Mm.
And I personally love green. I would paint my entire house green, but my family would not really appreciate that probably. So you can pair lots of colors. You can pair several colors with green. You can throw in like maybe a charcoal gray, even a light gray. Blue shades, violet, and you can even use gold fixtures or silver fixtures with this sage color. I try to use, in my house, I have many plants.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use plants as great accent pieces also.
Yeah. We have Amy Hink with us, interior designer, giving us tips on designing our home. You can join in with what you're facing. Is it a small space? Are you trying to do this on a budget? Have you tried all different configurations for your furniture and it just doesn't seem to work right? Join in 800-642-1234. So, you know, when you're painting, what do you think about the ceiling? What do you do with ceilings?
Well, it depends on what color you're using on the walls. If you're using a darker color for the walls and it's a smaller space and you don't want it to feel small, then I would recommend using white for the ceiling. If I'm already using something lighter on the walls, like a shade of white or a lighter shade of gray, you could even paint the ceiling that same color as the walls.
Okay.
It's kind of, you know, again, it's color is your preference. So if you like a lot of color, paint the whole room one color. I mean, just, you know, go for it.
What about crown molding?
Again, crown molding depends on the style of your home. I like crown molding. You can use it as an accent. So you could paint the walls one color, crown molding one color, ceiling one color. Or you could do, you know, the walls one color as well as the crown molding and then ceiling white. If you want to really open up that space and make it seem bigger, you'll want to paint the crown molding and the ceiling white and then, you know, whatever color you want on the walls.
Gotcha. What about when you have these exposed beams running through a room? How do you work with exposed beams? Because some people really don't like them. They're kind of obtrusive. Other people really want to showcase them.
Right. And beams are huge right now. Everyone, if you don't have them, you want them. So they're going in every space in every room. And if you have the beams, most often they're stained, a stained finish, but you could also paint them if you want a white ceiling. You could paint them white, and it just gives the room texture and even like a cool focal point.
Yeah. Do you think that's why beams are so big right now?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And it's also that, like, again, that Scandinavian style that is very popular right now. So it's the white ceiling with the dark beams and, or, you know, it could be light. They could be a lighter stained beam also.
We're talking with Amy Hink, a certified interior designer, explaining the latest in home style trends. What questions do you have about reimagining your kitchen? We haven't really even gotten to the kitchen yet. Living room, bedroom. What did you learn from a recent remodel? What tips can you offer about accessorizing a space on a budget and adding some pizzazz? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Amy Hink here on the Ideas Network. We're focused on interior design as part of our Ask a Contractor series on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So when we moved into our Louisiana home, every room was painted what they call builder beige. And that's that generic color that so many new homes come in. And over the years, we repainted kids' rooms and so forth. But when we sold the home, we turned everything back to that builder beige. Clean slate. What is your home design story? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. We have interior design pro Amy Hink with us for about 10 more minutes. Let's go to Tony and Menominee, who is a furniture maker and a reupholsterer, I understand. Hi, Tony.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What would you like to share?
I've just been getting a lot of work lately where people really love their existing furniture but just need an update on it. And like you were saying with the drapes, there's a lot of different fabric selections that you can go with, and it can really change the mood of a room just by changing, you know, a sofa or a chair and updating it.
Yeah. And Tony, what have customers been doing with their furniture pieces? Obviously, there sounds like they're changing the fabric and making some repairs on the furniture.
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, after maybe 5 or 10 years of use, a chair might start getting a little bit loose, so it'll need re-gluing or refinishing. So I'll, you know, go and do that for the different clients. And then even, it sounds like you're going to talk about kitchens too. I've had a few jobs where, you know, people's kitchen cabinets are still in pretty decent shape, but just aren't working well. So you can easily update cabinet hardware and put in pullouts or something just to make the things function better.
So in those cases, do you go into the client's house and do those cabinets on the wall, or do you take them down and redo them? How does that work?
In a lot of cases, you can just go and take measurements on site and then make up the pullouts or order whatever new parts that you need, and then come and do a few hours of work in the home afterwards, and then they have restored functionality of their cabinets.
Oh, and those cabinets are so critical. Tony, how long have you been in the business? How long have you been a furniture maker and restorer?
About going on 20 years now.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So. Yeah, and you're finding that business is there's an uptick in these times.
Yeah, it certainly seems like it. And I don't know if it's sentimental value or what, but it seems like a lot of folks are wanting to keep their existing stuff and just do some things to make it make them function better and last a little bit longer for them. So
yeah, Tony, thanks for sharing your story. Amy, you know, when you look at reupholstery, what do you think about in design and giving a second life to some of these pieces?
Oh, I'm all about that, and I highly recommend that people, instead of throwing out like a beautiful piece of furniture, just to have it reupholstered and maybe refinish the wood and yeah, I am definitely all about that.
Yeah, coffee tables can also be certainly refinished, and it also makes a fun job to do sometimes at home as a hobby.
Absolutely. And I mean, you can go online and find step by step, or find someone like Tony that you can give your piece to make sure it's absolutely done the right way. Because when you're refinishing a piece, it has, if you don't prep it the right way, then the paint might not stay, or the wood might get scratched, or the fabric might get ripped. So make sure you follow step by step.
Well, as Tony said, let's enter the kitchen. What is up with all white kitchens?
I know that has been huge right now. And I don't think that will ever go away, because a lot of times you want to have like that bright white kitchen. But now I'm seeing more different color cabinets. So if you like the white, but not sure you want to go all in on white, you could paint your island a different color. You could paint the base cabinets a different color and leave the top white. Like, there's a lot of fun things you can do with your kitchen.
What are your suggestions for a backsplash?
I think the backsplash is like one of the most fun parts of the kitchen. You can use that as your pop of color. And subway tile, I don't think that's ever going away, but there's so many variations of subway tile now that give a little texture to the kitchen. You can use different colors of the subway tile. One of the big things right now is using the granite you have on your countertops, running it up the wall as a backsplash.
I was just going to say that. I'm seeing that all over, people running their backsplashes to the ceiling, like getting carried away.
Yeah, I know. It is. It seems like a lot, but it also brings a beautiful look to your kitchen.
Seamless.
Also.
Yeah. Okay, so what are some configurations in cabinetry that you've seen that have worked really well? Because people have a lot of stuff on their counters. There is, you know, sometimes the coffee grinder and the coffee maker and all the apparatus that goes with that. What are some cabinet choices we should look at?
Well, if you don't like to see those appliances out on your counter, you can run your upper cabinets down to your countertop and kind of have like maybe a little like hidden space that you can pull up the door, open the, you know, slide up the door, and then there are your appliances. So when you want to use them, the door will stay up and you can slightly pull out your appliances that you want to use. And then when you don't want to see them anymore, you just put them right back in that hiding space.
Kind of that garage door. It's like,
yeah, like a garage door. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I would like one of those. I think that would work well. Any tips on butcher block in terms of that as a surface for in the kitchen?
Oh, yeah. That is another huge trend right now. Butcher block countertops, they're run around the perimeter cabinets and the island. A lot of my clients like to have their island as the butcher block,
mm-hmm.
and then use granite or, you know, whatever, marble, quartz for the perimeter countertops. But yeah, and then with the butcher block, you can do different finishes, different kinds of wood. Like I love the butcher block.
Where do you get your ideas from?
I go on Instagram a lot. I don't do a lot of Pinterest, but I know that is huge. And I don't know why. I gravitate towards Instagram. I still love books. So I find some local or not, well, not local, but I find some designers on Instagram that I really like and look at their books and just kind of all over the web.
Yeah. And so when you're working with a client, I would imagine you show different pictures to kind of get a sense of what their style is if they don't really have that clearly defined style.
Yes, I do that a lot. Or I recommend that they go out, because if they can't really tell me what they want, but mm-hmm. they've seen the picture, I'm like, all right, find those pictures, send them to me, and then I'll see what else I can find to go along with your pictures to find that right design.
Amy, thank you for joining us.
Well, Kate, thanks for having me. This was so much fun.
Amy Hink has a design firm in Brookfield, certified interior designer and member of the Design Society of America. Be sure to join us for the next home improvement advice as we continue our Ask a Contractor series a week from today. We're heading inside the bathroom to look at energy efficient toilets and what they can do for the home. So don't miss out on any tip or trick from our home improvement series. Find it all at wpr.org/contractor. We've compiled resources there to help with your next project. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.